to be very practical and very relevant about it. I was raised in an angry home. I'm not going to go into the details, but it was definitely anger to me that I guess after having seven children, you probably can't handle all of that. But I know about anger. I have, you know, lived with it. But I also know the healing power of Jesus Christ to heal us from anger. And, you know, there's two ways most Christians look at anger. Number one, either to vent the anger, or number two, to suppress the anger. But that really is too simplistic a way of dealing with it according to the scriptures, and we're going to see that tonight, that those two really don't always work. Someone who suppresses anger, it'll come out in other ways, and someone who vents it can cause a lot of problems. So how do we deal with anger? Well, Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." God bless the reading of his word tonight. God does not sin with his anger, but God does get angry. Scriptures are full of it. "And the anger of the Lord was against," the anger of the Lord. And sometimes it's hard to understand anger and what it is. But Paul says it's not a sin to be angry, it's a sin what you do with the anger. If we had no anger, we would never get angry at injustice. We would never get angry of people being mistreated. So there is a righteous anger that doesn't cause us to sin. Let's talk tonight about what anger is. I'm going to look at this tonight as the God kind of anger. This definition to me tells us the God kind of anger. It's energy aroused in defense of something good and released against something evil. That's the God kind of anger. God just doesn't get angry because we come up short. He just doesn't get angry because the economy goes down. God's anger is based around two elements. Number one, defending good and coming against evil. How many would like the God kind of anger and not our own anger? Everyone gets angry. Say it again. Everyone gets angry. Anger is a universal problem. It is not limited to one's age group, culture, race, economic level, social status, educational background, or any other clarification. Unresolved anger is one of the chief contributing factors to the destruction of marriages, breakdown of families, weakening of the community. It is a major cause of health problems and lack of productivity in the workplace. I wish to God I could look back over my years as a Christian and say that I always was angry and didn't sin, but I would be lying. You know, immaturity, issues and things, even though you're saved by the blood, sometimes anger is released not in the right way. Who's going to be real with me tonight and say amen on that? I want to look to Jesus tonight about anger. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's our example. He's the one I want to see about anger. Now, I could do a study on God and his anger from the Old Testament, but we have a more perfect revelation of God through Christ. He's the exact representation. You see, a lot of people want to take the God of the Old Testament, and they want to make him the exact representation, but that was only in part. We didn't totally understand God in the Old Testament, how he burned up cities and flooded the world. But Jesus came and said, no, this is exactly who God is. It's a greater picture and understanding. So if I'm going to look to something or someone to understand anger, I want to look to Jesus. Is that all right tonight? Mark chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as the others. Now we know there was another time when Jesus went into the temple with a whip, actually. So I'm trying to draw from the Lord Jesus an understanding of anger and how that the very Son of God looked around with the Pharisees and was angry. Now, there's a couple things we want to point out here. Jesus never put his anger towards someone, but towards something. What he was angry about here, he was grieved at the unacceptable conditions of their hardened hearts. We know that there are Pharisees that became Christians because of Christ. So he was not angry at the group of Pharisees or their sect. What he was angry that came from a grief he could not accept and could not believe, that a man that was healed, they would cause such hardness in them that they wanted to kill him. He looked around, not at them to put wrath on them, but he was angry for the hardness of their hearts. That's how we must live. Jesus is our example. There are things that people say and do, and we want to vent our anger on the person, but Jesus died for those people, and they might be saved before they die. But it's right to be angry about the hardness of people's hearts. The hardness of hearts to mistreat and to do things totally unjust. Yeah, we should be angry about that. Our problem is separating that from the person. When we direct our anger at a person, then we have sinned. I'll say it again. If Jesus didn't direct his anger at the person of the Pharisees, but rather the condition of their hearts, well, we can't either. That's why if you're smit on the cheek, turn the other cheek. Pray for those. Pray for your enemies. You see, you and I just can't handle anger very well, if we're honest. And probably in marriages, half of the problems have come, things spoken in anger. And sleeping on the couch and slamming doors. And that doesn't help the garden of God in our lives, does it? It says, when he looked around about them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of his heart, or their heart, was unacceptable. Wow. Let's talk about emotions and anger. First, emotions are not bad unless mixed with sin. God made us emotional, didn't he? We're not robots. Emotions become bad mixed with sin. The emotion to want to love a member of the opposite sex, the emotion to want to be intimate physically with a member of the opposite sex is not bad. What is bad is when I violate morality and I go and I use that emotion in immorality, and that's sin. Worry is concern that's gone bad. I tell you what, I wish to God I could go back and have all of my hard drives wiped out For all the times, what I thought was concern was just pure worry. And many times we're not aware of that. The Holy Spirit has to do a deep work, and he's done a deep work in me and in you. Concern must be taken to the surgical operation table of the Spirit of God and the Word of God to rightly divide whether I'm worried or concerned, because worry will lead to anger because it's rooted in fear. Many times, anger comes because I'm being fear-driven, not faith-driven. Hate is not bad unless mixed with sin. Proverbs 6:16, these six things the Lord does hate. Notice it doesn't say people. These things the Lord hates, seven are an abomination. So it's possible to have hate without sin. We should hate like God hates. But God hates no man. The Bible says he wishes none to perish. And I think, you know, as a Christian, we have a guidance. People that don't know Christ cannot make a difference between these two. And so their anger can cause murder, it can cause rape, it can cause, you know, burning things down, because anger is such a, it's just so foundational in the very DNA of our makeup. A patient man is better than a warrior. Anger rests in the bosoms of fools. Moses struck the rock twice, and God says, you're out of the game. But you know how merciful God was? When Jesus was about ready to go to the cross, on the Mount of Transfiguration, God brought Moses and Elijah to him. I tell you what, you know how merciful God's been to us because of our anger fits over the years? Even as believers, at work, in our marriage, that God was still merciful to us. I don't want to be disqualified from living in the presence of God because I can't keep my anger like Christ. I've been convicted many times on this. And thank God, because you don't change without conviction. Amen. It's a word you don't hear much today, is conviction. But that's the way to change. Amen. God hates those things. He doesn't hate the people. He doesn't even hate the people that are doing them. He wants them to repent and change. And we must do that too as Christ followers. Now let me give you a few things. How do we get healed from anger? Well, it's a very, I'm not going to try to make it too simple, but it's going to take time. But there's two things I see. If, first of all, before I get to these two, you and I have got to admit we have an anger button. Now I'm going to say it again. We have to admit, as spiritual as we are, we have an anger button that can be pushed, and we're going to be angry. There's two things I believe as believers. Number one, we don't deny it or suppress it. We let love dominate. That's why love is so important, because love really is the only thing that can stop hate from manifesting. Because when I'm patient, I suppress that thing. Normally, I would strike the rock twice when I shouldn't. Second thing is, we don't need to mislabel our anger. You know, when have we ever said, I'm just struggling with anger? We never say it. I'm just struggling with, what we say is, I'm just struggling with worry. I'm just struggling with fear. I'm just struggling because someone mistreated me. I'm just struggling not being offended. We never say to anybody, I'm struggling with anger, very rarely. But yet, many times, the source of it is anger. I want to be free, don't you? I don't want to get up here and dance in the river and go home, or go to somebody. I'm in my car and someone cuts me off or someone mistreats me. I don't want to, you know, I want to be even keel, don't you, everywhere we go. Let's talk about self-anger. This is, I think, has probably been the biggest thing in my life. After being sexually molested at 10, self-anger. It's an anger that, you know, you just didn't choose. It's an anger that you never thought would happen. It's an anger that's buried, because many times when things happen to us as a child or teenager, we didn't know Christ, we don't know how to process it. So when I become a new creature, my spirit's forgiven, but my mind has got files there with memories that grace hasn't gotten into. See, the last part of the promised land we possess is our mind, our thoughts, our emotions. That's why we must keep having them transformed and casting down the wrong things. Self-anger, Genesis 45, 5. It's about Joseph. Now therefore, be not grieved, he's talking to his brothers, nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. He said, don't be angry with yourselves how you mistreated me. Don't be angry how you ignored my cry for help. Don't be angry that when you went back and Jacob was weeping as you showed him my coat of many colors with blood. Don't be angry because God allowed this. Don't allow the guilt that you're feeling, what you did to me, destroy you. God's got to find a people that will not have self-anger. Because self-anger will not only mess us up spiritually, it'll isolate us from other people, especially believers. Self-anger. Let me give you five anger roots this morning, tonight, and then we're going to go. One of the anger roots is the pain from rejection. Rejection is one of the hardest things to work through. No one likes to be rejected. No one does. But if you look back, especially during teenage years, at school, you were rejected. They didn't want you in their group. They didn't like you. Rejection is something God never intended for us to have to go through. It's pain, painful, very painful. Another anger root is the pain of reaction to unchangeable consequences in our lives or situation. There are things, if I could snap my finger and let these circumstances change, I would. And I've learned that some things I cannot change. Year after year, I have to watch it because I can start getting angry. When is this going to change? When is this situation going to turn around? You can become angry about that. That can be a root of our anger. Third thing, the grief from favoritism. Oh yeah, everywhere you go, people are favored. But the reality is, there's one that matters that favors you. You've been overlooked and you've been mislabeled in your life. Doesn't matter with God. God takes bargain. We used to have a store that had, bargain merchandise down in the cellar, down in the basement. Basement bargain merchant. God takes it, takes us. That people have rejected, people don't want us. He takes us out of the basement of life. And he favors us. So don't allow favoritism, because it is in the world. And there are people that have been promoted over you that should never have been promoted because of favoritism. But guess what? God won't do that to you. He's going to favor you. How about this? The anguish of false accusations. People don't know you. I don't really know you. I've been here going on 6 years, it'll be 7 years, going on 7 years. I know a little bit about you. You know a little bit about me. So I don't want to accuse you of something. I'm not here for that. Accusation can make you angry about a person. Other thing, the last thing, the degrading hurt from abuse. Sexual abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, social abuse. There's abuse all around us. These can make you angry. I'm not good with anger. I'm not good. I don't like anger. I don't want it in my life. I want God's anger to be angry at unrighteousness, to be angry at injustice, to be angry at how people are treated, to be angry enough to motivate me like those geese to go to a place where I can meet with God and make a difference in my community. Not be consumed by it, that wrath comes out. James says the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of Christ. Well, what do you do, Pastor, when that anger is rising up? You've got to get with God. You've got to get alone with God. And if that anger has been vented, you need to have a sincere apology to the person you vented it to. If you do that, he's not upset with us. He said, this is my pattern. We often look at forgiveness if, you know, somebody came and ran in your car, or someone said an unkind. Listen, a lot of times we need to forgive people, because if we don't, we're going to be angry. And a lot of times the forgiveness, we're asking forgiveness because we were angry with somebody and said things we ought not. There's no reason for us to be angry at work. There's no reason to be angry at a mate. But they do happen. You know, keep your books short. The Bible says don't go to bed with anger, wrath. You know, when you first get married and you have all these expectations of each other, there's a couple of times my wife and I went to bed angry, or slept on the couch years ago. Oh, yeah. And I know no one here has gone through that. You know, and how many, don't raise your hand, amen. But you know, I finally realized, you know, I got to grow up. I didn't have as much of God's love as I thought. Oh, I could preach, but that's a gift. So I had to examine my anger roots. You know, Paul said, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Jesus looked around with anger, not at the Pharisees, the people, humanity. He looked at their hearts. He didn't want their hearts that way. Wonder if he hadn't been angry. Let's look at the opposite of this before we dismiss. Wonder if he would have said, oh, guys, that's okay. You know, you're so right. Wow, what am I thinking? You know, it's okay. I shouldn't be really healing on the Sabbath day. It's okay for you to say this. What if you'd have done that? He'd not have been honest, and he'd not been truthful. So he looked around, and you know, I can't prove this, but it could be some of those Pharisees there. A couple of them got saved, like Zacchaeus. There's some of those Pharisees got saved. How do you know at that moment that they realized he wasn't angry with us? He was angry with our hearts because he doesn't want us to perish. Because he doesn't want us to go to hell. And some of them probably understood that, and they got saved. I want my life not only to show the fruits of the Spirit and my testimony, but I want my life to be different than the world we live in, the pandemic of anger. I want to have a cure, and we have a cure, Christ. You know, we want a vaccine from allowing our anger to control us. There's many men and women in prison because a moment of anger and rage. I've been to maximum security prisons. And I remember years ago when I first went there, I was thinking, everybody tattoos and angry and mad, and we had about 200 men in the service, and man, God just moved, and I got to, you couldn't really get real close, but you could talk, from a distance. And man, when I got out of there, it was like, they're just like me. Just like me. I could be in there. It was like, hey, would you pray for my, I'm in here, one guy, I'm in here for life. I've got two children and a wife. I never get out. And I was like, that's like some guy I would meet on the street. But in a moment, in a flash, the anger went into rage. And rage, they say that there's comes a point with anger and rage that you go temporary insane. What that means is that logic and reason and intelligence are pushed aside, and what that causes, it causes a lack of understanding the consequences of this action. But in a 6x7 cell, those consequences can be pretty heavy. God bless the men in prison. Tonight, I hope all of us have a little more understanding of anger and the God kind of anger. The God kind of hate is towards broken systems and sin, not people. He that hateth his brother has no eternal life in him. And I get very concerned when people try to label somebody, well, they're not a Christian if they don't do this. They're not a, that's being God. Only God sees if someone was truly born again. It's not our, we're not the judge. If someone says, I believe in Christ, whether I agree with them or not, I cannot hate them or I'm in sin. And have to give an account to God on Judgment Day. And what'll happen is I'll get more bitter and bitter and resentful, and emotionally could have an emotional breakdown, because we're not wired to carry hate, are we? Let's hate what God hates, love what God loves. Let this house be a place where if people do have issues from the anger, been abused, that they can come and find healing and find a people, not perfect, haven't arrived yet, but we're well on our way. And a people that are not going to strike the rock twice and be disqualified from representing Christ the way we should. If you're watching tonight and you don't know Jesus, or maybe you have a problem with anger, join the club. Everyone deals with anger. Only God can heal us from that, so that we have the sweet presence of Jesus with us. And if you don't know Christ tonight, just pray this with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of all sin. I believe you died for me and rose the third day. I accept you tonight as my Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life, I ask in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, please visit our website, rockchurchofpetersburg.org. May God bless you and keep you.